All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share. We are in the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. So I feel like it's always an appropriate time to learn, and the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah is certainly an appropriate time to learn. So we are learning Lilui Nishmasa and Lezecha Nishmasa, Miriam Frun, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, Meher Neshama, have a continuous Aliyah in the merit of the Torah learning that we share this evening, and Baruch Hashem, almost every week of the year. Quite a tremendous sechus. Last week we didn't do the Sefer Insight. We had a special shiur on understanding how Stichos prepares us for din, for judgment, for reasons, etc. The week before that, if you recall, based on the Sefer who quoted the pasuk from Shema, you should love Hashem God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your ma'od, we did the Sefer HaChinuch, the mitzvah 418 of a love of Hashem. So now we are resuming in the Sefer. If anybody has it, I am on page 225 of the second Sefer, but I will read and add additional commentary, of course. Okay, so page 225, the second real paragraph. We did this already, and it was the springboard for going to the Sefer HaChinuch, so I'm just recapping through this paragraph quickly. We did this paragraph 2 weeks ago. True love and yearning for the Creator, as depicted in V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, you shall love the Lord God b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your resources, requires one to transcend the constraints of physicality. So to truly love the Ribbono Shel Olam, I need to move beyond the constraints of my gashmiyistic body, beyond the constraints of physicality. To enter the world of love, you must refine your earthly qualities. With such a foundation, you will be able to build unconditional love. As long as you do not have proper conditional love, the ground on which you need to build unconditional love will cave in. So bekitzar, you need a strong foundation. And if you don't have a strong foundation, then you won't have a house. There's no edifice without a foundation. So too, there can't be true ahavas Hashem without a strong foundation in your avodas Hashem. Without a foundation, there can be no structure and obviously no higher floors. Okay. New paragraph. As an aside, and this whole paragraph is in parentheses, bottom of page 225. As an aside, most of us, I admit, I don't understand exactly every sentence of what the Mechaber, the author, is exactly referring to, but we can understand that we have a tremendous work to do in terms of Avahavas Hashem, and based on all the sources that we bring into Shir, we understand that this is a very real, very important, very primary mitzvah in the life of a Jew, which is to feel God's love and for us to feel love for Hashem. As an aside, okay? So let's not get technical as to exactly what every sentence means. I don't understand every sentence. As an aside, most of us are allowed to feel sparks of the light of our neshama to improve ourselves gradually. Obviously, we're all working to improve ourselves until finally we can rise above the limitations of this world. And when we rise above the limitations of this world, we experience unconditional love. Okay, I understand that if we're enamored with the limitations of this world, it's very hard to feel unconditional love of God because we're so conditioned to feel love for so many other things in society. Rahman al-Atslan, may the Almighty have mercy on us. That's very hard to feel pure love of God when you're busy with so many other things in this world. There are rare individuals who, for various reasons, are privileged to access their neshamos, their souls, to an extraordinary degree, even before they have refined their more earthly aspects. So some people could feel the sparks in the neshama, the nitzutze ha-neshama, the sparks in the neshama, before they refine their earthly aspects. On one hand, they have an advantage. They're in direct contact with their higher self. So there are some people who are very soul-focused. On the other hand, they face danger. Because if their foundation is not solid, if they skip a step, in other words, if they're still too earthly and connected to too many earthly things, without leaving the earthly behind, they still feel their neshama, they face danger. Why? If the foundation is not solid, the love can be affected by many imperfections. Obviously, if the foundation is not perfect, then the edifice won't be strong enough. Such individuals should be happy with their lot, that they are soulful people. However, they should be afraid lest they build castles in the air. So in other words, they think they can fool themselves into thinking they're more developed than they really are. So we have to try and be self-aware. We have to try and be aware of what level, and it's very hard. It's extremely hard to be self-aware. The first stage of teshuvah is self-awareness. Where am I? Who am I? Ayako, where are you holding in life? If I don't know where I'm holding in life, if I'm not self-aware, if I built a castle in the sky and I think I'm on a higher level than I am, then the truth is it really is very dangerous because I'm perhaps setting myself up for failure. Moving on, page 226, subheading, unconditional love. I'm just seeing how long this this rest of the chapters, Esther would say, 6 more weeks, Michal. Please remind me the name of the sefer and author. So the author is anonymous. He does not sign his name. In Hebrew, it's Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. In English, building a sanctuary in the heart. My understanding, it is Rav Itamar Schwartz from Israel, but he does not sign his name. They have it in the Judaica stores. Mine is from one of the Judaica stores on Central Avenue, building a sanctuary in the heart. The volume that we're using has part one and part two in the same volume. It's not really so expensive. If you're interested in buying one, I bought mine. I think this is from Z. Burnham and Amacha. Okay, let's go. Good question. Thank you. Well, unconditional love, unity with the Creator. What is the source of unconditional love? How could I have unconditional love? What is the source of unconditional love? It's not dependent on anything. It's unconditional, no condition. So Chazal have taught us in the Zohar, and I'm sure you've heard this, Hashem, the Torah, and Yisrael are one unity. Have you heard that? It's Aramaic. Okay. K'disha brichu oraisa v'Yisrael chadhu. Aramaic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu oraisa, the Torah. Yisrael chadhu are one. There is a lot to be said for having an attitude of humility. You're correct, Nancy. So what does that mean? There's more than a lot to be said for having an attitude of humility. Chazal say in the Gemara that Hashem says about a gasus haruach, about a baal gaiva, a haughty, egotistical person, Hashem says he and I cannot live in the world together. Hashem cannot live, so to speak, in the world with a person who is egotistical or self-centered or the whole world revolves around me. So since Hashem lives in the world, it means that that person will be removed from the world. Jealousy, kina taiva, desire, and the quest for honor remove a person from this world. So there are many, many, many mamre teaching of Chazal that we must have an attitude of humility. My question to you is, Nancy, why did you bring that up at this point in Shir? How are you connecting it to what we're saying? So feel free to explain how that connects. So I'm now going to screen share with you. The last thing we said in this sefer is Hashem, the Torah, and Yisrael are one unity. K'disha brichu oraisa v'Yisrael chadhu. So I'm going to share with you a shmakvar that I learned last year. Esther Edelman shared it with me. My thanks to Esther Edelman for sharing this with me. I prepared a handout for you. Okay. I prepared a handout for you. Here we go. Okay. My handout is called Vav Center Share 92320. So as you will see, the Vav is the center of something Share. Okay. We're looking at a pasuk from Sefer Vayikra. Wait, could you see my screen? You can't see my screen? One saying no, one saying yes. I need to go speak up. Could anyone see my screen? If you could see my screen, nod. No? Oyvei. It shows my emails. You know, it's very interesting because when I have trouble screen sharing, it's through the Share account. I'm not trying to say Ashana, I'm stating a fact. When I have trouble screen sharing, it's through the Share account. When I give Shiram on my own Zoom account, I don't have this problem. Okay, let me try again. Can you see my screen? Can you see a handout now? Yes, Baruch Hashem. Okay, fine. Okay. There was a chat, I just want to make sure. That's really interesting. When I have trouble screen sharing, it's on this account. Okay, Baruch Hashem, it's okay now. Good. Okay, let's go. So we're looking at a parsha from a pasuk from Sefer Vayikra, Parsha Shmini. In Parsha Shmini, we have the deaths of Nadav and Avihu in the beginning. Well, we have Birkas Kohanim in the beginning for the first time. Then in Perek Yud, we have the deaths of Nadav and Avihu. And in Perek Yud Aleph, we have Ma'achalos Asuros and Ma'achalos Mutaros. Foods and animal that we may eat, and food, stuff, and animal we may not eat. So the Pasuk tells us in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Mem Beis, okay, 11:42. Here's the Pasuk, you could now see on my screen. Thumbs up. Kol Holeich Al Gachon, V'kol Holeich Al Arba, ad kol mar beraglayim lechol hasharet hashoret al aretz lo sochum kishaketim. Anything that walks on its belly, and anything that walks on all fours, and anything that has many legs, and any creeping thing that creeps on the earth, you shall not eat them. They are abomination for you. It's very interesting. Just this morning, a very long time ago, Baruch Hashem was a long day. A very long time ago, I was listening to Shir by Rabbi Zevlev. So he was talking about the difference between a person and an animal. No. Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg. I was listening to Shir by Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, and he was talking about the difference between a person and an animal. A person walks on 2 feet and stands upright. An animal walks on all fours. Okay? Kol holeich v'chol holeich al arba. This is an animal. An animal walks on all fours. So what is the difference? An animal walks on all fours. We're not allowed to consume it. A person walks on 2 feet and stands upright. So he said an animal is earth-focused. It really relates very much to our shir because we're trying to remove ourselves from the impurities of this world to gaze to higher heights. He said an animal faces the ground. It walks on all fours. Even if you think of a gorilla that sometimes walk on twos, when they walk on their knuckles down with their back feet. So they're facing. Yeah, they could pick their head up. But lamaisa, if you're walking on all fours, like you see me doing, I'm not walking on all fours for anybody listening online. I'm just bending my face down. So you're facing the earth. A person should always be looking upwards towards Shemayim. An animal is behema, beis hei mem hei, ba ma. What you see is what you get. Ba ma. In the animal is what it is. There is no complexities, there is no ruchnius, there is no thought, there is no ahab, that's the Shem el kecha. Ba ma. What you see in the animal is what you get. It walks on all fours because it's facing downwards. It's an earthly based creature. It's not bad. That's how Hashem made it. A human being elevates himself over that. He walks on two. In other words, his head should really be always not balgaiva up, but looking upwards towards his father in Shamayim. Had a Rabbi Goldberg actually related to the parasha, gave a beautiful word on Hazinu. Hazinu Hashamayim va'adabera va'tishma ha'aretz imrefi. Hazinu begins Perek Lamed Beis in the book of Devarim. Hazinu Hashamayim va'adabera, listen, O heavens, and I will hear. Va'tishma ha'aretz imrefi, let the ground hear the words of my mouth. So he said, it's a unique psha, very, very beautiful. Hazinu Hashamayim va'adabera, call upon the Shamayim in yourself, the ruchniastic part of yourself, the heavenward focused part of yourself, to listen up. Tishma ha'aretz imleifri, and the gashmi side of yourself should also listen to the song of Torah, of course. But you need to call upon your ruchniastic resources. Ha'azinu ha'shamayim va'adabera, call upon the shamayim within, the heavenly part of yourself within. Tishma ha'aretz imleifri, and of course, the base gashmi side of myself hears as well. So here you see in this pasuk exactly what I just explained from Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg. Kol holeich al gachon, a snake goes on its belly. It's downward facing. The kol holeich al arban, an animal walks on all fours. He faces the earth. We are not like that. We cannot ingest such animals because some of those midos will impact us. Ad kol mar berag, except for the animals that are kosher. Hashem said those animals are kosher. We're allowed to eat them. Ad kol mar beraglaim, a cow does not walk on two legs, but the Ribbono Shel Olam says that it has split hooves all the way, chews its cud all the way, and chews its cud, you may eat it. I thought it was very beautiful about the animal and the differentiation between an animal and a human being. They are earthly focused. We stand upright. We must be heavenly focused. Hazinu hashamayim v'adabera. Call upon the shamayim element within yourself. Call upon your ruchniastic aspect of yourself. Ad kol mar beraglayim, Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, not Rabbi Zevlev. Ad kol mar beraglayim, anything with many legs, l'chol hasheretz, any creeping thing, hashoretz ala aretz, that creeps on the earth, bo sochum, you cannot eat them, kishaketim, because they are an abomination. Now, if you notice in the word gachon, which I cannot highlight here on my screen, but I'm circling it, okay? You see that the vav is large. That's not an accident. If you would open up your chumash to Vayikra 11:42, Perikid al Pasuk Membis, you would see that taka, the vav is large. So if you open up the stone edition Artskua Chamisha Chumshei Torah, there's a little note, that's my footnote, stone edition Artskua Chamisha Chumshei Torah, there's a note next to the large vav. A large letter is called the Os Rabasi, and a small letter is called Os Ze'era. Aramaic. So, Vav de Gachon Rabasi, you can see this on my screen here. The Vav of Gachon, this is the footnote from the stone edition of the Arts Kol Chamesh. Vav de Gachon Rabasi, the Vav of Gachon is large. When you come to a large or a small letter, like Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the Dalet is also large. It's meant to call your attention to something. So one of the Pshatim offered, I believe, by the Baal Turim is you shouldn't confuse the Dalet with a Resh. You shouldn't think it's Hashem Acher. You could come to Apikorsus. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echer. Listen, O Israel, Hashem is our God. There is another God. You shouldn't come to think that. So the Dalet is large, so it should draw your attention to the fact that Hashem is Echad, not Acher. So when a letter is either Ze'era, small, or Rabasi, big, it's coming to give you a signal about something. So this Gachon has a Vav Rabasi. Why is the Vav in Shmini of Gachon big? V'hi Chatzi HaTorah Ba'osios. Okay? I know it's transliterated on my screen, not in letters of Lashon HaKodesh, but still, V'hi Chatzi HaTorah Ba'osios. So this Vav is half the Torah in letters. So that means you've just come to the halfway mark. Now half of a Sefer is very significant. So Esther Edelman shared this word with me in the name of Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro, who quotes the Maharal. You can see this on my screen. We look at the center of a Sefer for its essence. This teaching is also quoted by Avi Feiner in his book on Purim and Megillas Esther, and we actually did it in Shari class a few years ago, She'ela Si Ubakasha Si. So this teaching of the Maharal is obviously a famous teaching quoted in different places, that the center of a matter represents its essence. So the center letter of the Torah, Chatzi HaTorah Ba'osios, what's the center letter of Torah? Vav, in the word Gachon. The Maharal teaches you look at the center of a sefer for its essence. The letter Vav in the word Gachon in Parsha Shmini is the central letter of the Torah. So that means there's something significant about the Vav that's the center letter of Torah. So Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro teaches that Vav is unique in that the letter Vav, which is the center letter of the Torah in Osios, can be written in three different ways. I prepared this for you on my screen. The first way you could write a Vav is Vav Vav. Like if you want to write out the letters of Hebrew, you can actually spell them out. So the first way you could write Vav Vav is Vav Vav, right here. Vav, Vav equals in Gematria 12. Why? Vav is 6. Vav is 6. 6 plus 6 is 12. So the first Gematria of Vav, the letter, when it's written Vav, Vav, is 12. Next. Vav can also be written. This has something to do with our Sefer, okay? I'm not like just want to teach you about Parsha Shmini and animals and people looking down and people look and animals looking down, people looking up. No. Vav can also be written Vav, Aleph, Vav. That also spells Vav. The gematria of Vav, Aleph, Vav is 13. Vav is 6. Vav is 6. Aleph is 1. 6 and 6 is 12. Plus 1 is 13. So what's the gematria of Vav? It depends how you spell Vav. If you spell Vav, 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 then the gematria, the numeric value of Vav is 12. If you spell Vav, Vav, Aleph, Vav, then the gematria, the numeric value of the letter Vav is 13. And finally, Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro teaches, I think you have to stretch your imagination a bit for this one, but if you don't put a nekuda by the yod, I hear it. And the final way you could spell Vav is Vav, Yod, Vav. Vav, don't pronounce the Yud. And that will equal 22, because Yud is 10, and Vav is 12, and 12 and 10 is 22. So that's very nice. Now we have three ways to spell Vav. Where are we going with this? Who cares? Well, of course we care, because everything in the Torah is significant, down to every single letter. And if Vav is the Chetzi Torah Ba'osios, half the Torah in letters, then that means that Vav is coming to teach me something very significant, because the Maharal says the center of the matter, the center of the Sefer, is the essence of that Sefer. So what do I learn from the fact that Vav can be spelled three different ways, and that leads to three different gematrias? So Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro teaches so beautifully. I'm going to page 2. Why did I put on page 2? Because I didn't want to see the answers while I was still going through the gematrias. Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro teaches. By the way, if anybody's like interested in this handout and you want it, you could email me and I'd be happy to send to email to if you're interested. So, Vav equals 12 when it's Vav Vav. 12 are the Shvatim. the 12 tribes. 12 tribes represent Knesset Yisrael. So the first way we spell Vav, Vav is the center letter of Torah. The center of the Sefer is its essence. So Vav is the essence of Torah. The first way you spell Vav, Vav, Vav is 12, 6 plus 6. 12 represents the Shiftei Koh, the 12 tribes, the Shvatim. The Shvatim represent Knesset Yisrael. The second way you spell Vav, Vav, Aleph, Vav, equals 13. 13 is the gematria of Echad, which, by the way, the Sefer is about to say when we go back to the Sefer. Aleph is 1, Ches is 8, that's 9. 9 and 4 is 13. So 13, Vav, Aleph, Vav equals Echad. Echad is, who's Echad? Hashem Elkeinu Hashem, Echad. So the first way I spell Vav represents Knesset Yisrael, Am Yisrael, the Jewish people. The second way I spell Vav represents who? The Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem. And the third way I spell Vav, Vav Yod Vav equals 22. What's 22? 22 is the osios of the Aleph base, the letters of the Aleph base. The letters of the Aleph base make up Torah HaKadosha. Hence, Yisrael, Oraisa, K'disha Brichu, Chadhu. Look at this. Why did I bring this to? Because as soon as I was preparing for Shira and I read in our Sefer, Hashem, the Torah, and Yisrael are one unity, this word immediately popped into my mind because I think it's a tremendously beautiful idea. And you see how every letter is so complex. Even one letter has three different gematrias, depending on how you spell it. And each comes to teach us something. In the one letter that is the center, Chatzi HaTorah Ba'osios, which is the Vav. The center of the matter is the essence of the Sefer. The essence of the Sefer, of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, is Vav. What does Vav teach you? Vav teaches you there are 12 tribes, Vav, Vav. Vav teaches you there's one Hashem, Vav, Aleph, Vav. And Vav teaches you, Vav, Yud, Vav, 22, that there is one Torah, because 22 are the letters of the Aleph base. And here we have exactly the principle that we just read in our Sefer. The source of unconditional love is Tisha Brichu, Oraisa, Yisrael Chadhu. Hence, the middle letter, which is the essence of Torah, represents the Bnei Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, Torah, Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam, K'disha Brichu, and Torah, Oraisa. Our entire essence is encapsulated in the middle Vav. And I was thinking to myself, this is a different source for later, which we might not get to this week. And I was thinking to myself even further, that it's very interesting. When was man created? Adam HaRishon was created on Yom HaShishi. Yom Shishi is Yom Vav, because Vav represents 6. So man was created with the essence of Vav. How? Because the first day of creation was Yom Rishon, Chaf Hey Elo. So you had Rishon, Sheini, Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, Shishi. So if the first day was Rishon, Sunday, what we could call, no, I don't even want to say that. Rishon, Sheini, Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, Shishi is Arab Shabbos Kodesh. It's also Rosh Hashanah. Man was created on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Hadin, the day that Knesset Yisrael declares K'tisha Brichu, our God, by adhering to Torah. And this is the day that man was created. Yom Vav was Rosh Hashanah. Yom Vav was Aleph Tishrei. And what do we declare every year on Aleph Tishrei through our actions? We declare K'tisha Brichu, Torah, Oraisa, V'Yisrael, Chadhu. How? Because we anoint Hashem Melech. This is the day of anointing Hashem as Melech. So obviously Hashem is one. And ultimately in the end of days, V'haya b'yamahu Yisham Echad u'shmorachad. In the end of days, everyone will recognize Hashem is Echad and not Acher. There is no other Acher. That's why Echad is written with a large dalet. And on this day, Knesset Yisrael adheres to Oraisa by doing Teshuvah the Torah. And therefore, we taka have on Yom Vav unity between K'tisha Brichu, Yisrael, and Oraisa, Chadhu. So the purpose of Torah is for man, the essence, Yom Vav, that's when Adam was created, to fulfill Torah. And through the fulfillment of Torah, we come closer to Hashem. So Taka, it's very beautiful. It's very beautiful. I hope it's clear. No one asked any questions, I see. So I assume, you should never assume, the 11th Dibra in my house, my father, Shana, is an attorney. So the proverbial 11th Dibra in our house is, thou shall never assume. But since no one asked any questions, I hope, I should say, that it means it was clear. So the center of Torah, the essence of Torah is Vav. That essence of Torah represents Ketisha Brichu, Yisrael, Oraisa, Chadhu. Furthermore, we added on that man was created on Yom Vav, Yom Hashishi, which corresponds to Aleph Tishrei, and it is on Aleph Tishrei that man, who was created on Yom Vav, brings all the components of creation together to unite with God through our adherence to Torah. Yisrael anoints Ketisha Brichu, Ismelech, and this is the essence of our Avodas Hashem. Nancy loves Gematria, Baruch Hashem. Good. So, clear? Okay, let's go back to the statement. It's very beautiful. What is the source of unconditional love? Chazal have taught us, Kdisha Brichu Oraisa V'Yisrael Chadhu. That was the word that we just had. Okay. As is known, the numeric value of Ahava, love, is the same as the value of Achad, one. Oh, I wanted to just screen share for another minute. I added it to my notes, I forgot to show it to you before. So what we just read in the Sefer is the gematria, the numeric value of Ahava, is the same, says this author, as the value of Achad 1. So 1 is 13, Hashem is Achad 1, 8, 4. And it also equals the same gematria as Ahava. 5 and 5 is 10. 2 and 1 is 3, 10 and 3 is 13. So you see that to love Hashem, who is Echad, Ahava really unites us with the oneness of God. Because love and Echad, I shouldn't have said that, love and oneness, or Ahava and Achdut Hashem, Achdut Hashem, Echad, are the same gematria. So, as is known, the numeric value of Ahava, love, is 13, which is the same value of Echad 1, which I just showed you on my screen. This is true love. Oh no, sorry, I skipped a sentence back. That is to say, the true nature of unconditional love is complete union to Hashem. Like we just explained through that Vav. Ketisha Brichu, Yisrael, Oraisa Chadu. We're all connected with that Vav. And it's interesting because Vav is also Vav HaChibur, the Vav of connection. So it's the Vav that connects us. Ve'ahavtas Hashem Elkecha, and you shall love Hashem your God. Ve'ahavta l'reicha kamecha, and you shall love for your fellow what you love for yourself. Vav hachibur connects one thing to the other. So if Vav is the center of Torah, it's compelling that Vav also serves the function of connecting one thing to another thing. So what in this case does Vav connect? Vav connects Hashem, Ketisha Brichu. Vav connects Oraisa, Torah, and Vav connects Knesset. So it's very deep. It's amazing. I don't usually teach these kind of teachings, but I'm quoting from Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro. We're adding in some insights. It makes so much sense. It's very profound, very beautiful. That is to say, the true nature of unconditional love is complete union to Hashem. Only when you feel that chadhu, that oneness with God and that oneness with Torah, when Torah dictates every single thing you do in your life. Torah must dictate every single thing we do in our life because we're one with God and we're one with Torah. And that leads to unconditional love to the extent that one can merge into oneness of Hashem. This is true love that is not dependent upon anything at all. This is true love that is not dependent on anything at all. Why is this considered unconditional love? A love that is based on a superficial or accidental sense of oneness will weaken with time. So if love is based on some sort of condition or some superficial factor, or it's accidental, it will weaken with time. Whereas an inherent oneness, like the love of a person that he feels for himself, will never cease. The love that a person feels for himself is really a manifestation of his love for God. Since the neshama is a chelek elokai mima'al, then really the love I have for myself. And second, I'm going to comment on what Nancy just said. So the love that I have for myself is really love for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's funny, Nancy, that you just wrote that, because it also relates to Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg's shir. And I'll tell you how. Over time, Nancy says, Torah has, capital, begun to dictate how I live my life. Notice Nancy wrote, over time, Torah has begun to dictate how I live my life. So Rabbi Goldberg, it was a shir on Ha'azinu. Ya'arov kamatar. We spoke about hazinu shemayim vadaber v'tishmar. It's imrefi. That you have to call the shemayim in yourself. The ruchnius in yourself. Don't be like an animal. Look upwards to the heavens. The earthly part of yourself has to listen as well, but primarily we have to be heaven-focused. Hazinu hashamayim, Moshe speaking to the shamayim within man. Make yourself a person, not an animal. Walk on 2 feet. Look up. Don't walk on 4. Then, atishmar etzim refi, ya'arov kamatar lichi, tizal katal imrasi. Ya'arov kamatar lichi. My teachings should drip like rain. Tizal katal imrasi. My sayings, my utterances like dew. So in this next pasuk in Ha'azinu, Moshe compares the teaching of Torah. Nancy, listen carefully. Everyone else should listen carefully, but it's really interesting that Nancy just said that because I heard this show this morning. I wasn't even planning to say this till that comment. In what way is teaching compared to rain and dew? So Rabbi Goldberg said, if you plant a garden, and something I could very much relate to this year because we, every single day, my daughter did it today when she came home from school. She went outside to check the produce in the garden. She goes to check the tomatoes. She goes to check the bell peppers. We measure their progress, not with a measuring tape, but we look at them every single day. The pepper seeds started as seeds in the ground. You should see the plant. It's not normal. She planted seeds from a bell pepper from our house. It was a pot of dirt. I can't describe what's there. First, we said, oh, there's a little green. There's some green shoots. Then there was plants, leaves, flowers. Now there's mini peppers. It came from garbage, what we always put in the garbage. So Rabbi Goldberg said, in what way is Torah, Moshe said, my teachings of Torah compared to rain and dew. So in what way is Torah compared to rain and dew? So I believe he was quoting, he was, Rav Simcha Bunim Peshischa. Rav Simcha Bunim Peshischa explains that if you look at a garden, you don't see growth. If you look at the garden every single day, every single hour, even though my daughter goes out to check it every single day, it's very hard to see a difference in that plant and in that growth if you check it every hour, every 2 hours, every 3 hours, every day. Even after a rainfall, I'm not talking about supernatural plants. I'm not talking about Superman plants, regular plants. But if you look over time, said Rabbi Goldberg, the rain is going to change that produce. It's inevitable. That's how Hashem made nature. It's going to start in the soil as nothing. It's going to blossom. It's going to be beautiful. You know, we have growing in the backyard. This is hysterical. A cantaloupe. It took us a while to figure out what it was. Why do we have a cantaloupe? Because we wanted to try some natural compost. It's hysterical. So in a section of the garden where there was nothing growing, because the other plants we bought weren't successful, so we put some of the kitchen garbage. By kitchen garbage, I mean green bean trimmings, nothing, no litter. Okay, if I peeled cucumbers, we just dumped the garbage into the ground. And it took us a while to figure out what was growing. What's growing? A cantaloupe. In the backyard in Woodmere, New York, I could send you a picture. I don't know if it's going to be edible. Because we planted, I put the rind of the cantaloupe and some of the seeds in the ground, in the earth. I gave it to my husband with a shovel. He put it under the ground. You know the cantaloupe? But over time, you only see progress. Not immediately. You don't plant it and now you see progress. This is exactly what Nancy just wrote. That's literally what Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg said, and I heard in the show this morning. Over time, like the rain waters and grows the garden, over time, if you immerse yourself in a life of Torah, it is impossible that Torah will not change you. That's what he said. I couldn't make this up. You could all look on the chat and see what Nancy wrote. Over time, you said, Nancy, Torah has begun to dictate how I live my life. And that is exactly what Moshe says in the second, when he waxes poetic in Ha'azinu, if you will. But Torah teachings are like rain and the drippings of dew, because over time it is inevitable that there will be change. A person will naturally come to love the Ribbono Shel Olam, will want to keep more mitzvahs, will want to learn more, will want to be better, as long as you let the life-giving waters of Torah, Ein Mayim Ela Torah, water who you are. Although he added a caveat. I forget who he was quoting. That first part was from Rav Simcha Bunim Peshischa, but the second half, what he said, is also true. He said, but there is a condition. And the condition is that a person has to want to grow and change. He said, just like a seed. Somebody buys a bad seed. it's not going to grow no matter how much rain you give it. If it doesn't have the potential for life in that plant, in that seed, let's say it looks like a seed, but it's really dead inside, then it's not going to grow. So in order for a Torah to change a person has to have an innate desire. Could be very small, but you have to feel those sparks. That's what we just read in the Sefer. Sometimes a person is privileged to feel his spark. So the seed has to be healthy, meaning there has to be some life inside in order for the person to be able to grow from the drippings of rain, from the drippings of Torah. So exactly what you said is mamish, what Moshe Rabbeinu says in this week's Parsha, and that is how Torah is compared to rain. Beautiful. Going back to the Sefer. A love that is based on something superficial. So you had some hazinu vartach thrown in tonight as well, Baruch Hashem. A love that is based on a superficial or accidental sense of oneness will weaken over time. So if you love something for superficial reasons, okay, or accidentally for whatever reason you had a momentary benefit or something gashmius, of course that love will weaken over time. Whereas an inherent oneness, like the love of a person who feels for himself, will never cease. Okay? So when I read this, it reminded me of Pirkei Avos. I'm going to attempt to screen share. Whew. You will tell me if you could see. I prepared it on my screen. Can you see Pirkei Avos? Yes? Baruch Hashem. Okay. So when I read this in the Sefer, that love that is dependent on something or that is superficial will weaken with time. Love that is not dependent on something, that is unconditional, will only strengthen with time. Like Nancy told us so beautifully, when a person immerses themselves in Torah, the rain of the dew of teaching of Torah will cause that person to sprout and grow over time. The Mishnah tells us, Beferish, we're in Pirkei Avos, Perek Hey, you all said you could see my screen, Baruch Hashem. Whoops, sorry. Kol ahava shehi tuluya badavar, batel davar, betela ahava. Any love, I think this is exactly a reference. I don't know if the Mechaber or the author is speaking about this specifically, but, oh, I'm going to show you the Bartanura, so I'm going to put you down here. Whoops, one second. Okay. Any love that is contingent upon a matter, when the matter ceases to be, the love will cease to be. Okay. What comes to mind is a couple, and you're going to see that's Ahavas Amnon and Tamar. So I do not know Nach well enough at all, but Amnon desired to be with Tamar for her beauty. So I even tried to Google it. This is a reliable source. It is the Israel Koshitsky Virtual Base Medrash from etzion.org. This is all about Amnon and Tamar. So if anybody would like this link, I'm not being facetious, I'm being serious, I will send it to you. But Bekitzer, he desired Tamar for her physical beauty, and there ended up being a physical relationship based on physical beauty. And what comes to my mind is, if you think a couple, when they get married, you know, for the shidduch, is she pretty, they want to know? Is she slim? What does she look like? So I want to know who looks the exact same as when they got married, 10 years after they got married, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. So if the love between spouses is dependent on the external factor of how they look when they walk down the chuppah, so it's going to be a big problem for that marriage, because very, very, very few people look exactly like they look when they got married. We age, women conceive and birth, we just look different. So love has to be very internally focused. And that's why we have to remove ourselves from the constraints of this world in order to love the Ribbono Shel Olam, because love, unconditional love, cannot be based on any conditions. So the Mishnah says, or going back to the Mishnah, Kol ahava shehi tuluya badavar, batel davar, batela ahava. Any love that is dependent upon a matter, when that matter ceases to be, batel davar, when that matter is no longer applicable, batela ahava. So the love ceases to be. Visha'ena tuluya bedavar, but if the love is not contingent or dependent on anything external, it's a deep love. So if the spouse looks different in 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you still love the person because it's not external focused. Ena betela la'olam. That love will never cease to exist. What is the love that is dependent upon a matter? I'm happy to send this page. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm being very serious, from Yeshiva Har Etzion, explaining the relationship of Amnon and Tamar to anybody who would like it. I do not know enough, I could send that to you. But that is a love that was contingent upon a matter, unknown and tamma, and therefore it does not last. But a love that is not contingent upon a matter is the love of David and Yehuda's son. And so we have to have a love that for God, but is not contingent upon things. And we have to have a love for people that is also not contingent upon things. So I want to show you the Bar Tanura. So when I prepare, I have the sefer here of Pirkei Avos, Maseches Avos, with the Bar Tanura. But in order to screen share, I'm showing it to you on Sefaria. So here you go. Kol Mechlokas, Kol Ahava. Okay, this is the Bar Tanura. Kol Ahava Shehi Teluya B'Davar, Batel Davar Batel Ahava. Any love that is contingent upon an external matter, some sort of physicality, some sort of condition, some sort of a gift, some sort of payment. So when the payment or the condition or the gift or the beauty ceases to be, so the love will cease to be. It's not really love. She'eino mitkayim. That love will not be upheld. Eino miskayim. There is no lasting longevity to that love. Why? Kishe yisbatel hadavar, shahaya siba lo'oso ahava. Because when that matter is mevatel, is nullified, when the matter that the love was contingent upon is nullified, gam ha'ava betela. So what's going to happen to the love? Says the Bar Tanura, the love is going to be nullified as well. There's no more love. If there's no more beauty, no more money, no more gifts, no more favors, no more conditions, so there's no more love. An extreme example of this would be the relations between a zona and a man who hires her services. Could you call that love? It's totally external. It's not love. It's for the purpose of satisfying only physical desire with no love component. Rabbi Goldberg pointed out something also very beautiful about Hazinu. He was quoting, I believe, the Kutei Sichos of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, a Parshas Hazinu's Perek Lamed Beis. What does Lamed Beis spell? Leif. Not an accident. It's the heart of the Torah. Hazinu is the heart of the Torah, the song of Torah. And we gave a couple of insights into the opening psukim of Hazinu. So love that emanates from the heart will last. And love that doesn't emanate from the heart, kashi yisbata hodavra, shaya sibel oso ahava. So when the relationship between the zona and that man, when that physical relationship is finished, the ahava is betel. There's no love. It wasn't love in the first place. It's not love. It's gratifying something very external. V'chol ahava she'ena tuluya bedavar. Oh, sorry. V'chol ahava, I didn't finish the sentence. V'chol ahava she'ena tuluya bedavar batel. Ela bidavar kayam, any love that is not dependent upon a nullified, fleeting, senseless matter, but rather love that is dependent on something kayam, something permanent, something established, something everlasting, like the love, I'm going to add in, between. Excuse me, Kedisha Brichu, Orais and Yisrael. What's more lasting than the Ein Sof of the Ribbono Shel Olam? What's more lasting than the infinity of Torah, the lave of Knesset Yisrael? And what's more lasting than Netzach Yisrael, Lo Yishaker? So when the love is not dependent on a fleeting matter that will be mitbatel, nullified, but it's dependent upon something that is Chai V'Kayam, eternal, Knesset Yisrael, are eternal, absolute divine promise, Oraisa, is absolutely eternal. Preceded the world, it will be here. Ad bias called tzedek, will still have chamisha chumshei Torah. And finally, Hashem. Kigon ahavas hatzadikim v'hachachamim. So it's interesting. The Bar Tanura really relates to the topic of our shir, I think, like love of the righteous people and the wise people. And I don't believe, although I don't know, I don't believe that the Bar Tanura is speaking about love between tzaddikim and chachamim. My understanding of this Bar Tanura is that he's speaking about the love that tzaddikim and chachamim have for the Ribbono Shel Olam and Torah, because he's referring specifically to righteous people and wise people. We call the sages. Someone just said to me today, "What does Chazal stand for?" She wasn't being serious. She wasn't being a joke. She said, "What does Chazal stand for?" I said, "It stands for Chachamim Zichronam Levracha, the sages of blessed memory." So the love of the righteous people and the love of the Chachamim, which must be love for Torah and love for Hashem, ain't a betela leolam. That love is never nullified. Kishem Sha Davar Shu Sibala also have ain't a betela, ain't a batel. Just like the reason for the love is so deep that the reason of the love can never be nullified. A healthy marriage. The spouse does not love the spouse. Of course, you need to be attracted to your spouse. That's not what I'm talking about. But yes, we change. But the reason, the deep reason for the love is never mevatel. It's never nullified. Our love for the Ribbono Shel Olam can never be nullified. Our love for Torah can never be nullified. Like Nancy said, not knowing what Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg said in his shiur this morning, Nancy said exactly what he said. It's incredible, Nancy. Your journey is really the living example of the journey of Torah. Over time, the drippings of the teachings of the dew of Torah will impact you in such a way that that love will never be mevata, that love will never be nullified. Kach ein ha'ahava betela. So too, true deep love that is not conditional will never be mispata, will never be nullified, but love that is dependent on something will be very much nullified. So we, Baruch Hashem, finished that paragraph. We did a whole page. But Ezras Hashem, as we go into Yom HaKippurim, let us remember, as we learn tonight on a very deep level, that Ketisha Brichu Oraisa Yisrael Chadhu, that we are connected in a very real sense. I will send you, if anybody wants to link to Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg's shir, someone just asked me what shir I'm referring to. I'm referring to a shir on Ha'azinu. It's on Wayu Torah. It's called Ha'azinu, the song, there you go. It's on Wayu Torah, Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg's page. It's called Ha'azinu, the song of our lives. May the neshama of Miriam Frud, Miriam Bais Chaim Yitzhak, Allah Ha'asham, merit an aliyah neshama, and the zchus of the star. I wish you all, and all of Knesset Yisrael, b'chol makom shem agmar, v'chasima, Tova, we should all be zochet to celebrate together our Shana Tova Umesuka. Thank you so much, everybody, and a good Shabbos.